even beyond riding for only 60 minutes. I think that this conversation, someone might have hit a nerve there. A lot of the community members in Barberton would like to weigh in. My businesses are looking into it, so they're currently in talks with the municipal administration. But I think we really need a round two. I ask less, you get to pose some of the questions. And maybe we must convene even the city and even Proctor to be part of that conversation. That is what we are definitely planning to do. But now, for let's shift focus on bringing the former municipal manager of Stiftung the local municipality, that would be looking into joining us in conversation now. To give us an account of a role, or not a role, that we would have played in what the municipality is in pursuit of, particularly in the area of this forensic report that the municipality has now commissioned to be investigating the irregular appointment of the substation there in Mthunzi. Substation and the former municipal manager joins us now. Advocate Ben King is my guest. Don't tell us good evening.
I'm
great. Advocate, I can't hear you. You seem to be fading away. Let me try and maybe amplify the voice. Can you hear me though?
Yeah. Can you hear me? I wonder if you can hear me now.
Yeah, no, I can. Are you well?
No, I'm good, thank you.
Yeah, a long time since the game got sticky. I haven't had you in a while. Let's talk about the forensic report. I mean, a summary of it was tabled before council. Among the many other things, it points to you to say that there is a role, you played, and you need to answer to some of the questions. Among the questions that you need to answer to is, why did you sign documentation that somewhat lacked the entire requirements, particularly the certified qualifications among many, but largely the issue that you are flagged to have done wrong in is obviously when you signed, and you signed the tender where the price was hugely inflated. Maybe give us your understanding of what happened there, and then we'll navigate our conversation from there.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. I'm not sure. I've not seen the report, so I'm not sure what the report says in terms of that. But I think maybe let me start where we need to start. Okay. I was told that the company was investigating the tender to give us something the civil company, and I thought, okay.
Yeah. Okay, apologies there. Let me just interject. You're sounding a bit faint at there. Can you maybe put your mobile cell closer to your mouth or the headset there? Because I'm struggling to make what you are saying.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, it's a bit better. I seem to have lost him there. That's Advocate Ben King, sir, the former municipal manager in Stiftung. And he fled into a report citing that the municipality commissioned work to be done in a substation there. And Advocate Ben King is among the accounting officers at the time. Advocate, can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm checking if you can hear me now.
Yeah, loud and clear now. I well appreciate it.
Yeah, so I'm saying I've not seen the report, so I don't know what the report says, safe to say what I've been hearing being said about the report. But there were a number of things that I was told of the company that did the investigation, the forensic investigation. And then I also looked at that company. I see that it is a civil engineering company. And they are also not registered as forensic investigators. So I thought maybe it will be interesting to understand what was the intention of appointing those who are specifically when the issue is about the electrical project. That's the first thing. The second thing that I must say is that the report, having not seen it, as the main only person in the report because I was the accounting officer. I was not interviewed in the whole of that process.
Mm-hmm.
I was not interviewed. But I also interacted with the CFO at that time, Mr. Mokgosi, to ask him if he was also interviewed. So Mr. Mokgosi was also not interviewed.
Yeah.
So the two most senior people in the municipality at that time were not interviewed about this project. So that on its own brings credibility issues to that report, because if I'm going to read that report, the issues that have been raised with me, that people were raising, of not having the EIA and all of those, I already know that then there's a problem with the report. But just to give you a sense, when I joined the municipality, there was a policy which was not proper, it was not correct. The policy that said we spend more money where we collect more. So which effectively means that the suburbs is where you will be getting more services, because that's where you get more revenue. But that is not, that is actually against the constitution, because our constitution is a redistributive constitution. So to the extent that is redistributive, it meant that places like Mzuzi also needed to be taken into consideration. So in 2019 in December, because Mzuzi was dependent on the gold fair, in 2019 in December, gold fair was affected by fire. And when that happened, for 4 days, the people in Mzuzi didn't give a message. And then when we went to, because remember the thing, Goldsmith was supporting 80% of electricity. But the other cities, they had backup in terms of the other switching stations, Cyprus and all of those.
Yeah.
But in Chile, they didn't. So that only told me wrong, because we've got 25,000 households there that are affected, and they are also paying rates and taxes, and then there's no way you can save them. So there was, if you look at the master plan, there was a plan that in 2025 there will be a new intake substation, 2x40 MVA substation in Middleburg South, which will not be here addressing the issue of MCU. But also to say, let's increase the capacity of bonds here. But you are not increasing fees. So when the problem happens, that problem is banned. It's banned again, by the way. Even after I left, it's banned again. And still increasing, people are the only ones who are affected.
Mm-hmm.
So that is an injustice on its own. So in the quota of 2020-2021, the decision was taken that we build a substation, an intake substation, temporary intake substation in issues. And
okay, can I come in there? Was it to build or refurbish a substation?
No, in MCV it was to build a new substation. The one that was supposed to be refurbished was the Goldsmith one.
Okay.
The Goldsmith one has it's got two transformers. It's got one that was 10 MVA. So the 2025 master plan was saying that we should increase it to 50 MVA. So if you look at the costing of that, and you look at all the other issues of concept still has, but the concentration risk still remains.
What was the value? Sorry, let me just come in also there. What was the value then of that substation that was going to be built in the
only
place?
Only the transformer only would have cost 59 million at that point, without including all the other labor and all of that.
Yeah.
So if you include that, give and take, it would have been 25 or so million.
Yeah. So where does the 30 million there comes from?
The what?
The 30 million, because there's a purported value of 30 million, particularly that is said to be in the master plan of the IDP in the municipality. 30 million is the figure I'm told.
I've not seen that 30 million, but I'm just saying you can ask around anybody. If I give you an example, in Errorend in 2010, we built 40 MVA in Errorend. In 2010, we did it at 100 million. That was 2010. So if you take that and just do a simple calculation of the value, time value of money, just the simple calculation of time value of money, it will show you that it would not have been realistic to say that 30 million would have done a substation. We were not revamping, we were building a new substation. But there were a number of issues. You see, the problem is, I needed to give you the strategy of what was the strategy of the municipality at that time, so that we can appreciate the whole thing. Because if you remember, there was also an issue of Arnott and Komati, that were the power stations that were also going to close. And we were going to have also an issue of unemployment. There was also the issue of the optimum mine that was closing. So the municipality took a decision to say that we need to focus also on investment. So that is why you remember we at that time we were talking to Clover. Actually, we were just about to finalize with Clover. We were also talking to him again. But we were also talking to a number of other investors, potential investors to talk to us.
I mean,
but that was one.
Sure.
So the other issue.
Apologies. I'll keep in interjecting because I see the time that we have previously planned is fast going because of that case we had earlier. But look, I'm particularly interested on just two aspects, right? The first one, because you and I have not really fully seen this particular report, I've heard of it and what it contains. So let's rather talk about what you know and what you remember. From the inclusive intake substation, right? My understanding is that prior to that, there were companies that were appointed, including FTEC, being one of the companies that was appointed for largely dealing with issues of electrification in the municipality. So give us a sense then on the intake of the substation. How did you then source out the companies to say, this one is going to do this, this one is going to do this? Because I've noted that among the companies that are said to be part of that particular construction of the substation were companies that were already appointed in other financial years, particularly the other companies that were previously awarded part of the panel, but then subsequently, when we come to this substation, these companies emerge, and they are also apportioned work. So give us a sense of how did the companies get to be recruited, those that subsequently are involved in the substation.
Okay, let me put it this way. What we have, we will have an electrical company that has got a panel, we've got a civil company on the panel, we've got the consultants, civil consultants, and then we've got electrical consultants on the panel. So we work on a rotational basis. So it's a simple rotational basis issue. But on this one specifically, because it was a big project, one of the things that we looked at, if you look at that, is that we wanted to make sure that we are not price takers. So part of what we did is that we then said, from a rotational point, you are the one who will be getting this project, but we want to look at whether you are also amenable to negotiating. So if you look at the documents that the municipality has, you will see that we're working on rates with those companies when we appoint them initially for the 3-year project. But on this one specifically, we reduced the rates because we said that this is a big project and then we wanted to make sure that the municipality is not worse off. So we didn't want to just take the price because that's the price that was on the SLA. So if you were to take the SLA and look at the amount that we were paying per rate for each of the services in the BOQ, you'll see that those rates were renegotiated lower. So that's what has happened. So all these companies that we appointed, that's the method that the municipality uses. That's the method that was based in before they became there. That's the method that is based in now that they work on panels. But the panels is because they are good because when you're working with panels, it allows you also to the flexibility of being quicker in terms of because remember when you get this project, we also have we've got financial and non-financial performance. So the financial performance is that you expand, but on the non-financial is that there must be work on the ground. So it's easier to do that than to always go on a tender every time because then you don't reach your target.
Yeah. So among the companies that we appointed, I mean, you said you didn't want to take a chance. So among the companies that you appointed, so you, I mean, did you know of their capacity in terms of this company possesses this type of a qualification as a company and whatnot? So would you say then the other reasons to say that there was a company that you appointed that did not possess, you know, the right requisite or a requirement for them to be handling such a project?
Yeah, I think you see, when you look at that, you must also look at it in correlation. Remember what happened. When it started after we appointed FTEC, when it started, the issue was that FTEC is a Zimbabwean company. Okay. The owner is Zimbabwean.
Sure.
That was its first issue. So then they realized that this guy has been having 22 years having naturalized in South Africa, is married here, his kids have been here and all of that.
Mm.
He's been here for 22 years. And then they were like, this one is not going to last. Remember, this was, we were taken to court for this part,
sure,
by the way. We went to court, and then the people who took us to court had to pay the minister to court because the court said that we don't have a case. So that was the first issue that you need to realize. Then the second issue that they came up with was the issue of saying that the CIDB of that company is a 6, which is it was a 6 EP, which is a 7. And then they then said, as a 7, it doesn't qualify for 158 million. But the project itself is not 100, it was not the whole project for 156 million to one company. That company, FTEC, was given for 60 million. The initial allocation to the mass for 50 million. But there was also the consultant from Electrical, and there was a contractor who was also doing the civil works. So all of those, we then put it there to say the estimated contract amount is 158 million. So that's what we wanted to look at. But also at the time, because we were doing what we call the contractor development program, which was the program of the municipalities there, if you go and look at it. Not only this one contractor was a beneficiary of that, a lot of them are beneficiaries of that. I can mention the names of those companies. So that's what we did, to say we give you this work, you do this, next year we allocate you something else after you have increased. And then when we looked at this in 2021, the company was already sitting at an 8. At level 8. So that's why we say clearly there was no argument there. But the issue is why the AG did the audit for 2 financial years and then they specifically looked at this specific substation and there was no issue. Only after I left there was an issue. It's because of what I tell the AG. So the question is, who was saying what to the AG that is wrong? Because what they told the AG is just not the truth. What I don't understand is that the chief risk officer of the municipality, who did the analysis of all of this themselves, is still there in the municipality. So I don't understand why there is that gap in information.
Yeah.
But I think that's where the issue is.
Yeah. So you said that it would not be true that FTEC, or this particular company, because you said FTEC, now you know.
No, it's not true.
It's not true that they would have been paid over these 158 million.
That they would have been paid more money.
Yeah.
Look, you see, I don't even know how we come to say that the company has been paid more money. Because as I understand, the close-up report is still not there. So let me explain to you how this thing works. Because we're working with the JDCC, the contract. So every payment that we pay is called an interim payment.
Mm-hmm.
But at the final payment, that's the one that we call the final payment, where we reconcile all those payments.
Sure.
So, for example, the present municipal manager has paid some of the invoices there. And then I'm saying, at that point, at what point did he then say that this thing was irregular, it shouldn't be paid, and then he still continued to pay? You see, it doesn't, I don't understand how it works. It doesn't really make sense to me to say, at what point do you then pay, and then you come back and say it was not, it was irregular, and then we overpaid somebody, and then we say, why did you then pay? Because you should have reconciled it at that point, then you say, okay, and cancel the contract. That's what it demands of an accounting officer to say. If you say that the tender was irregularly appointed, you don't pay. you know, and then you then pay again, and then you increase, instead on top of that, the contract amount. You increase the contract amount, and then you come back and say that it's irregular. For me, that's the worst situation I can get out of my head. I don't know what is that. So that's why I'm saying to you, sitting here.
What has been your relationship with Obabo Mangangu? Because I'm told that you guys are busy simply because you took what he was eyeing as an opportunity for him then. And when he left, he came in. So, roughly, it's like a cat and mouse type of conversation. But how do you make your relationship with him, if any of it?
Look, I've been there after Manga left. I was there for 4.5 years. Anybody who has been in the municipality of the magnitude of this chapter, there will be one or two decisions that will be taken wrong. I've never escalated any of those. We corrected the things that needed to be corrected. I'll give you an example. When I got there, he had a panel. The panel that was appointed in 2017. That panel had one company in it. You can't have a panel with one company. That on its own is irregular. But we don't regularize this. Yeah. The second issue was that the very same one person who was in that panel had applied to say they are putting their price with that. But when they gave them the letter of appointment, they said actually that, which meant the municipality would have lost 50% more. And then I corrected that. The service provider was not happy, but I showed him this is what your initial. So I'm saying I've never had that thing of thinking that we are enemies or what. But like you, I've been told that Mr. Mbuni is unhappy with me because he feels that I took his job. It was unfortunate that he feels that way. It's really very still unfortunate because I still see him as a colleague. I met with Mr. Mbuni the other day, and when I greeted him, I didn't know that, you know, only now that I hear, you know.
I mean, one last thing to say, you met him the other day, when?
I met him, I think, late last year in Durban, and I greeted him, and when we greeted, there was no issue. But when I came back, I was told that there are lineup of investigations since he started. He's just been investigating all the decisions that I made because he feels I shouldn't have made those decisions because when he left, he did not make those decisions. But the municipality remained after Mr. Mbuni left. There was a municipality, there was a municipal manager, there was a council, and then there was a mayor. So I didn't understand why we would wait for someone to come back and then decide which direction we go to. And then I can tell you that most of my implementations were based on the 2030 vision strategy of the municipality, which was done at the time of Mr. Mbuni. If you look at things like the smart city, I just implemented the smart city, which was already there. I didn't even say, no, this was not my program, I'm going to start my program. No, I took that and embraced it. So it was done by a colleague, it was done for the municipality, it was not an individual issue. And then I embraced it and implemented it. If you look at the master plan to say, let's see the substation, it's not what I decided, it's in the master plan. So I did not do all of these things because I said, no, let him go, and then now I start afresh. No, I didn't even have a long-term strategy. We used the one that was there, the 2020 strategy, to say we will implement this strategy. The hotel that I started the process of doing the hotel, and then we made sure that we implement the hotel. The hotel that is standing there, it was a 2020 strategy. I implemented it. It's not like. So I did not understand then why when you implement all of those things, then it's a question of who must start all over and investigate. If you look at what people are saying to me, if it's true, which will be said, is that they are saying the intake substation was not in the 2020 IDP. Then I ask the question, if it's not in the IDP, it means it's not in the IDIB, it means it's not in the budget. How are you then guys paying for a substation that is not in the IDP, that is not in the SDC, that is not in the budget? I had to go to an extent of
I have to cut you now. I have to go. The other show is just waiting for me. And I really do appreciate your time.
No, that's fine.
And I hope to converse with you soon. want us to talk about what we need as well.
Yeah, no, thanks a lot. Thank you.